Please turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 5 through 8 as the choir has sung concerning a thousand tongues to praise our King. It's very important that with that tongue we have the wisdom of God to praise Him with, and not just anything that we lift up would be acceptable to Him, but the wisdom that He would give us from His Word. So turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in Your presence, and we thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your presence here with us at this very moment as we have honored Your holy and majestic name. And Father, we come to continue to worship You through the reading and teaching of Your Word. I pray that You will enable us to focus on You and Your Word, that You keep the evil one from us, that You give us instruction from Your Word today by Your Holy Spirit, understanding Your Word and how it applies to each one of us who have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I pray that each one of Your children would be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged as we worship You here today. And Father, I pray for those who are here and do not know Jesus as Savior, that You reveal Yourself to them. Show them their sin and Your judgment against that sin. And then show them Your grace and Your love and forgiveness in Christ if they would believe in Him. Confess and repent of their sin and ask for forgiveness, for You will forgive. So may You be honored continually in our worship. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we were looking at the purpose of the sheep. Our purpose in life is to honor God, to live lives that are pleasing to Him. And Jesus, in that passage in Matthew 10, says, I'm sending you out as sheep among the wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so we look this morning at James chapter 1 and verse 5 and see, where do we get the wisdom that we need to live in this day and age in which we are living? You surely don't want to get it from the world, the politicians, and there might be some preachers you don't want to get it from, depending on what they're teaching. So let's look at James, starting in verse 5 here, concerning the wisdom that is available to you and me. First of all, in verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, well, there's the first thing we have to think about. If any of you lacks wisdom, how many of us lack wisdom this morning? The rest of you are pretty good, huh? I tell you. First, you and I have to admit the need that we have in our own hearts for the wisdom of God. Do I have the wisdom I need, or do I lack wisdom? And it comes throughout the day in every event that you and I face. Lord, what am I going to do now? How do I handle this relationship? How do I handle these circumstances I find myself in? Because we need to admit, I don't know. I don't have it. I lack wisdom. Please help me here. And so we've got to admit we lack wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is having the correct knowledge and then how to use that knowledge, how to apply it to life. And so we all have knowledge and we all have ways of dealing with things, but is it knowledge that would be pleasing and honoring to God? And the way in which we use that knowledge, is it honoring to God in the manner in which we use it? So when we are dealing with wisdom from God, it's knowledge from Him about ourselves, about the people we're dealing with, about the circumstances we're in, and best how to apply that knowledge. So if any of you lacks wisdom, what is the next thing we do? Let him ask God. Now, the verb to ask there is a very important verb because it means an inferior asking a superior. The inferior asking the superior, which gets to our prayer time. When you and I pray, and we've sung this morning, I love the hymn, Holy, 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 because it describes the character of God and who He is. And when you and I pray, do you and I realize that we're inferior and God is superior? Or do we pray like this? Lord, you just got to do this. You have to do this. Lord, do this, this, and this. Work in that person's life over here. Do this. Give this to me. Does that sound like an inferior to a superior? Sounds like we're giving God orders. And so we always need to remember who I am and who God is. And we go before Him in humility. We go before Him in confidence because we're told that we can approach His throne in confidence. So we have to have confidence in the relationship we have. And at the same time, there needs to be an utmost respect for God who is holy, holy, holy. So it's both humility and respect. Ask God. God here, in the Greek, there's only one word for God. It's theos, and it means the true and living God. It's the God of Israel in the Old Testament. And so when we ask of God, it is the true and living God. And as we know, beside Him, there are no other gods. So it's very important that you and I realize who God is. When we go before Him and we ask, look how He responds to us, who gives generously to all without reproach. Who gives generously. Don't you like someone who gives generously? You know, when somebody goes to cut me a piece of cake, I don't want some sliver. That infuriates my appetite. Give me a piece of cake. And then while you're at it, pile a double scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of it, you know? I heard an amen on that. Yeah, y'all are coming alive now. I'm talking about chocolate cake. Come on. That's generously. And God will give you and me generously, abundantly, the wisdom we need in any given situation. He's not going to ration it out. He's not going to give just a little bit. All that you and I need in understanding ourselves and the world in which we're living and the situation in which we are in at the present that we're asking wisdom for, He's going to pour it out on us. And this is the beauty of it, that He gives generously to all, meaning all of His children, without reproach. Without reproach. Have you ever had the privilege of mentoring someone, teaching someone, and the person that you were mentoring was just a little slow at catching on? How did you handle that about the fourth or fifth time you had to tell him the same thing? I'm sure you did this. Now here's how you do it. Bob, this is the steps you take. Or were you a little frustrated? You mean I got to tell you again? Can't you get it? God will never do that to us. God will never do that to us. He will never demean us. He will never talk down to us in a derogatory way. God is truly long-suffering. We're all still alive. He's long-suffering to us. He knows we're clay jars and how weak we are. He knows what we need. And He won't demean us when we go to Him time and time again and ask Him, Father, please, I need wisdom. Please give it to me. And we have His promise here. He will give it without reproach. And He'll give it abundantly. But let's go on and look at this. In the last part of verse 5, it will be given him. And the way this is written, it's a definite promise. It doesn't say he might give it. He's thinking about it. How many times do you and I go to someone and ask them for something and say, let me think about that. I'm not real sure. God doesn't do that. He says he will give it. And this is a promise that every one of us have from our Heavenly Father, that when we go to Him in prayer, acknowledging the need that we have, being humble about it, He will give it generously, and He will do it and fulfill His promise. This is the promise we have from God to give us the wisdom we need on a daily basis and event by event. Now, let's go and look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Let him ask in faith. Now, there are two things about faith. Two things that we need to think about in faith. First of all, faith motivates us to pray. Because you and I know, because we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God has answered and answered and answered. And so, when you and I are in a situation that we just need some wisdom from God, we've prayed for that before, He's given it to us, so we're there and we're thinking, I know I can ask God. He's going to give it to me. Because just this morning I was in a situation and I asked God for faith. I asked God for wisdom and He gave it to me. So I'm going to go back and ask again. And you know, you and I have folks that we call and we say, you know, I'm in a bind and could you help me out? Why do you call that one person? Because that one person has been there for you many times. And you know that person, if at all possible, they're going to help you out. So you'll keep going back to them. And so it is with God. We keep going back to God because He's always there for us. And so our faith motivates us to go to Him because He answers us. And then the second part of faith is trusting what He says. Believing in what He says. Here's how you handle this. Here's the situation that you're faced with. Think about this. And God will never lie to us. God will never mislead us or deceive us. He always tells us the truth. And you and I know this. We've lived by it for many, many years. And we know that whatever God tells us, it's going to be true. How many times have you and I prayed and we asked God for wisdom, and the next thing you know, you're getting these scripture verses coming into your heart and mind. And you think about what the Holy Spirit's given you, and you look at your situation and say, whoa, this is awesome what God's doing for me. He's given me the wisdom I need. So this is what we say here. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now this is the key, brothers and sisters. No doubting. The word doubt here means hesitation. No hesitation whatsoever. Now, turn with me, if you will, back to Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. This is the roll call of the faithful. We're all familiar with this particular passage. Look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So you see, when we go before God, first of all, we have to believe that he is who he says he is. God says, beside me there are no other gods. I am El, Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, Yahweh. That's who I am. Do you believe me? And we do. We believe that God is who he says he is. And because we believe that, when we go to him, we're told in Hebrews 11, 6, that he will reward those who come to him. So the reward is, in this context, would be the wisdom that you and I need. Lord, I believe that you are the true and living God. I believe that you are the omnipotent God. I believe that you are the only source of comfort and blessing to me. I believe that you are holy, 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 the covenant God of grace, the immutable God who never changes in his being. I believe every bit of that. And that's why I'm coming to you now to ask for the wisdom that I need, because I know you'll give it to me. And it will not be demeaning to me. That's what we do. That's how we pray. Not only here as Hunter prays, and we pray along with Hunter, but in your quiet time on a daily basis, we pray in the same way. And we're told here back in James, go back to James chapter 1, and verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now let's look at the one who doubts. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways, driven and tossed. And he's compared to the waves in the sea. He says he's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Have you ever prayed like this? Lord, I don't think you'll do this, but... And we wonder why we don't have prayer that's powerful and that God doesn't answer. I don't think you'll do this, or I don't think you're able to do this. Lord, I'm going to ask anyway. What kind of a prayer life is that? You are a wave and unstable. A double-minded man is literally translated two souls. You don't have two souls, but it shows the instability and the uncertainty that if we're not careful, we can ease into. It says, don't let that man should not suppose that he should receive anything from God. The word suppose there means let not that man expect anything from God. Don't expect God to answer a prayer when we don't believe who He is. And we don't believe He's going to answer anyway. And we don't even believe if He's listening to us. Oh, no. No, don't be like that. We know who He is. That's the reason we go to Him. We ask in faith, believing everything about Him. Knowing and expecting Him to answer. Expecting Him to answer. In Psalm 37, we're told to be still before God, which means to be calm before Him and wait for Him to act. And the verb to wait there actually means waiting to see what He's going to do. Instead of not wondering if He's going to do anything, but what He's going to do. How is He going to answer this? How is He going to walk me through this? How many times have you and I been in situations like that? Where humanly speaking, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't see how this is going to work. And what happens? He works it out. And what? I always say this. When I'm praying, I'm always looking for God to work this way. I got Him figured out. I know how He's going to work. And you know what He does? Pew! He comes over here. And it works out beautifully. Because I wait on Him. And you wait on Him. That's the hard part, I'll admit it. It's not easy to wait on God. He's slow. According to our time frame. But He's never slow and He's never late. He's on His time frame. And He's there. That's how we get God's wisdom. That's how we get the wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters, whenever you need that wisdom, all you have to do is ask and you will get it. And do we ever need the wisdom of God in the day and age in which you and I are living? I'm almost stopped listening to news and all the stuff that we have to put up with. It is so frustrating and discouraging. But we need to know what's going on so we can pray and ask God's wisdom on how to understand this life. So I would encourage you, all of us need wisdom. Don't hesitate to go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him for it, because He says He'll give it. And to anyone here who's not a believer, you can't get that wisdom until, first of all, you have Jesus as your Savior. You're not sure about your faith in Christ. That you're a believer. I want to talk to you after this service. I want to show you how you can know for sure that Jesus is your Savior and you're trusting in Him alone for salvation. And those of us who are believers, be encouraged. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and He will give it generously to all without reproach. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for the message you've given to us this morning from your word by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can come before you and we can ask for wisdom and you give it. And you give it generously to all without reproach. Thank you for this promise that you've made to your children and how you fulfill that promise whenever we pray. Father, you've spoken to our hearts today by your Spirit. I pray that whatever you've instructed us, that we will walk in obedience for your honor. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, Take My Life and Let It Be. Think about this as we sing this song. Lord, You take me and use me. Shall we stand as we sing? God will bless you in your ministry. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, it's so humbling to know how much You love us and how much You want us to have Your wisdom if we would just ask. And I pray that we will ask and You will give to us generously. And we ask in faith. Thank You for our brother and sister from the Ukraine, the ministry You've given to them. Bless them in Your work. May it be fruitful. Protect them from the evil one. Continue to use all of us in the work of Your kingdom for Your glory and Your honor. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.